It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and we have in the center studio the gals.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, gals.
Wow.
My mother always just did that when I'd say something. Eh? But she wouldn't say hello. She'd go, eh? Anyways, and let's bring in Janet Manco. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
Lots of nice color on the front page of the Lakeville Journal this week, especially the color picture. People standing in snow at the White Hart. You know, I said to Pat Pagano this morning, this year is one of the few years where, like in Salisbury, Sharon, Pine Plains, everybody but Millerton had snow on the ground for the trees, and for the trees in between Lakeville and Salisbury. It's not often that we get snow on the ground while the trees are there.
Right. My daughter keeps saying it's all going to melt by Christmas Day. She's expecting a 60 degree.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be gone by the end of the weekend, but there's another chance. But still, really, this is the first time I can remember in a long time where the trees actually look like the trees in snow like they should.
Right. And a beautiful photo by Ann Day. An exceptional evocation of a New England Christmas. It couldn't be more perfect. So thank you to Ann Day.
Were your feet cold standing there?
Norman Rockwell, where are you?
I know. He wishes.
My feet, I don't even know if they were cold. It was just so much fun and so beautiful. I can't remember if my feet were cold.
It is an iconic place. It is an iconic place to have a tree lighting ceremony.
And the cookies were great. Mm.
All right, let us move on to the left of that. And something that I can tell you, I know from the Sunday in the Country Food Drive, they served over 600 people for Thanksgiving with a full Thanksgiving dinner. And they have another 600 that they're putting out for Christmas. And it reflects the fact that food banks really are under the gun.
Right. And so this is a story about the federal government has cut back on the food stamp program, which is called SNAP. And they chose to do it between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is stunning. And
stunning, really? Not from this guy.
I guess. But really so hard because there's even more of a – like there's always a need for supplemental food in this northwest corner, tri-state region. But especially during the holiday season, the food banks and the food pantries and the Sunday in the Country Food Drive work so hard to make sure that everybody can celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas with a nice hot meal and some turkey and food. And so the SNAP, the way that the food stamp eligibility is figured out, like how you figure out if you qualify for it, has changed. And what they've done is they've sort of flattened out the how much you spend on utilities and sort of said there's one number for the whole nation. And Connecticut costs are higher. We're the third highest energy costs in the country. So a lot of people who are just struggling to get by, and most of whom who still do have jobs and are working, are now going to be taken off food stamps. Chris Murphy, our U.S. senator, estimates 45% of people in Connecticut who are on it are going to lose it. And those people now, the food banks are saying, you know, we're here to support those people, but it's going to be a big increase of at minimum 10%. So if you're feeding, you know, 600 people, then you have 660. Yeah. So definitely at this time of year, do think about giving food or donations to the food pantries, the food banks. You can find your social services person through our Towns and Villages supplement, which is online, and maybe we hope you all saved your copies, or go to your town's website, or also we have contact information for Fishes and Loaves. That happens to be the one that we interviewed, but Sunday in the Country Food Drive has their website. I think it's called sundayinthecountry.org,
and you can the whole thing about Sunday in the Country, they take everything they get and they separate it so there's full meals, and then it's allocated to food pantries because the food pantries are having that trouble, and the food pantries pick it up and distribute it to the people who are there. People have to understand this new rule that the government's putting into effect is going to significantly increase the amount of donations all these food pantries are going to need.
And also the State Food Bank, which is in our branch is in Wallingford, Connecticut, they have a new director as of July, and apparently the amount of food that our local food banks are getting from the State Food Bank has been cut way back, and a lot of produce, and we're not talking about like fresh raspberries, we're talking about like potatoes and carrots and onions, basic stuff like that, people have not been able to get. And I was over at Fishes and Loaves delivering some stuff yesterday, and you know, actually really what a lot of people want, they seem to want very, you know, cake and pastry and stuff, so, but that's legitimate too. But you know, definitely they can all use, and we have instructions in here, they can't break up packages of like bulk cereal, but they can break up a bulk package of potatoes or carrots or onions.
Anyways, it's an interesting story. We'll move on to the other side of the page, where another report from the Sharon Hospital and the introduction of the new officer there.
Dr. Mark Herko, the new president, and he's a doctor. They've traditionally had either a doctor or a nurse the last few rounds of heads for Sharon Hospital. He's coming in after quite a long interim period with Denise George, who was a longtime Sharon Hospital person as the president. I think he's a vascular surgeon. So he gave his report. The HealthQuest and Nuvance people gave their report. I believe there's an interesting letter this week on HealthQuest Nuvance. Janet, I guess we'll talk about that.
Yes, it's a guest commentary from Save Sharon Hospital, the group. And so we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yep. Yeah, very interesting letters. But a good update, as they're required to do, the letter, the column that Janet has kind of indicates that there may be some effort to break the obligations that they've committed to already.
All right, and a story that should hit home to a lot of people by you, Cynthia, is a story I talked about when this broke, the sentencing for the driver in the fatal car crash, which happened a while ago, really hits home, and this should be hung in every house, every school, any place where there's young drivers.
This is the saddest story because nobody comes out well from this. It's a tragedy for everyone. So there were three young women, Dina Silvernail, a young woman that Ann and I both knew. I knew her just from, she worked at the Patco. It's a lovely kid. And she and her two close friends were out driving. Too much alcohol, too much silliness and giddiness, flying down that back road in Kent near Skiff Mountain Road. Head-on crash with a teacher, a former teacher at Marvelwood, lovely guy who's been basically injured for life, and Angela Brazale, the third child in that car, and the child in her 20s, that's got to mess with your head for the rest of your life. And so Shelby Roger has just pled nolo contendere, which is I believe, and I don't know this, but I believe that there's some civil suits that are related to this, and the plea of nolo contendere is intended to not interfere with those civil suits. And so she's being sentenced in March. She is out on $250,000 bail right now, bond, and they're recommending 15 years with 5 years served. It's a very, very sad story.
We'll move over to Nature's Notebook with Tim Abbott.
A particularly poetic and beautiful Tim Abbott column, who often writes beautiful columns, but this one is about being out at night and looking at the night sky and being with family. And it's hard to describe. You just have to read it. It's very poetic. And don't miss Sam Foley's beautiful story on Pearl Harbor, which was December 7th. And they had we always used to celebrate. We used to commemorate Pearl Harbor in this area because Izzy Tadiello had been on a ship in Hawaii on the day of the attacks and had these vivid stories about it. And he passed away, I think last year, April 23rd, and they had a ceremony in Torrington and in North Canaan honoring his memory and also all the lives lost in Pearl Harbor on that day.
And it's interesting, there was just a story, I mentioned this earlier in the week, the last survivor, living survivor of Pearl Harbor, he wants to be interned with his shipmates, and the Department of Defense is going to allow it.
That's nice.
Is going to allow it. It's a day that people should never forget in this country, and this is the way you remember it, by bringing it up. Nice story inside, though. The injured hawk is on the mend.
That's the best story ever.
Yeah.
The photos alone. Sonny Kellner is great over at Audubon, and took a picture of the hawk after it was found and rescued in West Cornwall near the bridge. And how it looks now. And it's just such an interesting, quirky-looking little bird. And it's, you never want to give human characteristics to an animal, but it just does look like it's a very funny, entertaining little bird. So we're happy to know, because when it was first brought in, it was touch and go. They didn't know if it would survive, but it seems to be doing okay. And I'd like to quickly point out, on the jump page, I always feel badly when there's a single obituary on an extra page, and we had just a late obit, and it pushed one of the obits off. And I just want to say, we generally do it alphabetically. Like, the person who ends up on the extra page is usually the person whose name is alphabetically last. Sometimes it's a space thing. It has to be the one that fits, but we mean no disrespect to anybody.
All right. And great picture of the bobcat.
It is a good picture, right? Bob Tomasetti. a bobcat in November, but it was such a good picture on Wells Hill in Salisbury, and definitely not a mountain lion.
And once again, on page A3, color pictures. You've got pictures. You're in Salisbury. You're in Lime Rock, Twin Lakes. I mean,
roving reporter Ante, the best pictures ever. Ante, who loves children. And
thank you.
Really great. And beautifully, like, not easy to shoot those nighttime shots with children who are always moving. So really appreciate that. And then Patrick went over to the tree in Lime Rock and also did that, and also wrote a funny little story about the Salisbury, as he always does. And then we're continuing our holiday gift shopping stories. Noel Ambury wrote about Joie Maison, which is in Salisbury up across from the White Hart, and has beautiful glass and all sorts of other stuff. And Noel gives you a sense of what he's got there. And passports, formerly, well, I guess still owned by the by Elaine LaRoche's family and estate, and run so wonderfully by Chris Betts.
You have a story as we continue on the paper about one of the work nights. I think they have two every year,
yep,
at Housatonic Valley Regional High School once they open up the store. And people get to go and make wreaths and stuff like that.
There's a lot of wreath workshops around here, and you pay, or you can go to Housie and learn how to do it from these guys. It's just unbelievable to watch these guys, how they do it. They're like an assembly line. They do so many. They're so fast. And, of course, as you know, Patrick took a very funny photo of the kids. You know, the first thing you have to do is you have to clip the greenery off the branches. But the most important thing to know is that the FFA Holiday Store, open at the high school through Sunday, December 22nd, open daily from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Great place to buy your wreaths and your garlands and your trees, and also poinsettias and cabbage cheeses.
And it supports the student program, and the students run the store they do everything. So on top of being an agricultural experience, it's putting agribusiness experience to work as well.
Right. Somebody asked me the other day, like, what is this FFA thing? What's it stand for? And I said, well, they don't really like to call it Future Farmers of America because farming is so much more complex now, but it's students who are interested in aquaculture and floral design and, you know, environmental law, all sorts of, you know, the environment generally. They do the Envirothon. It's a very interesting program, and this helps support it, and it's one of the many ways they learn about public speaking, they learn about marketing, they learn about retail, they learn about government.
All right, and Falls Village, Santa made a stop in Falls Village.
A nice picture by Molly Lovejoy, yeah, and a really picture postcard Santa. Actually, just to go back for a second, so Anne took a nice photo of our Santa in Salisbury, and we don't really want to out Santa, but did you want to say who Santa was this year?
It's Bullitt's son, Tommy.
The beloved Bullitt Sherwood, and his son's taking over many of the...
I have to say that Tommy was very well disguised. All you could see were his eyes.
A lot of big beard there. But I'm growing into it.
He used to love about Bullitt. Every once in a while, he would slip because he would know somebody.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, kid? Honey, hey, honey, how you doing?
I got
well, the best thing was he would know their whole family history,
right,
and he'd be sitting there with a child on his lap saying, and he knew what your daddy did when he was your age. I know, because I'm Santa.
We miss that, the big-hearted guy. We miss him. All right, D.M. Hunt Library has a sale of small art to help them out.
Yep, another nice story by Molly Lovejoy, and I didn't realize this. They started the 12x12 art show in December 2012, so it was 12x12 on 12x12. And really nice little works of art. They're all 12 inches by 12 inches. They're all $100. There are still a few for sale. They're available up until January 4th. Pop into the library. You can find their hours on their website. And then another holiday gift story. Lila Hawken went up to what used to be the famous Catherine's Chocolate up in Great Barrington. It's now called Milky Confections, and carrying on the tradition, the same group of ladies who had been in the kitchen hand-making the chocolates is still there.
And it's two Army guys or Navy guys. They're two military guys that bought it.
Husband and husband, yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. Sweet Haven, there you go. It's
the queen, as Alexander Wilburn calls her. She's fantastic. Alex popped over to Sweet Haven Farm, what used to be my gym. It's now called Cobbler's Corner, over next to Patco in Lakeville. And the multi-talented, unbelievable Noreen Driscoll doing workshops. And, boy, if you ever want to learn how to make a beautiful wreath, that's the place to go.
A nice picture of the Grinch, the parade in North Canaan, which was postponed because of snow.
Yeah. the only one to be postponed by the snow. And again, Molly Lovejoy doing a great job. Very hard to shoot those trucks lit up in the dark night, but she did a good job. And a nice little beginning to the holiday tree lighting season there.
And Cornwall Selectmen, we're discussing goals for 2020.
Yep, capital planning and budgeting. We're already moving into the thoughts about that. Can't wait for budget season, always. Michael Hanlon Jr., an Eagle Scout, who did a very interesting project in Falls Village that we covered at the time that it happened. Nice story by Sam Foley, who, again, is a local kid who's been writing for us. We're very happy to have him. Not a kid, he's a college student. Everybody's a kid to me.
My goals for 2020 are to make it to 2021.
Oh, gosh, right? Just make it to goal. July.
Just one goal, that's all.
That's a good goal.
On page A6, the Sharon Kent page, the Kent Sink, they had their parade of lights.
Which is always a really, really nice one, and appropriately, because it's always very cold. I've covered many parades of light. I'm always freezing. They had a Frozen bus with the movie. I don't know how they managed to do it. We have to find out who was responsible for that bus, because it was pretty pretty extensive. It looks almost like Disney brought it out. And I just want to point out, since you did refer to it as the Sharon Kent page, we were asked in our survey to go back to doing the town pages, which is slightly more challenging for us, but if people really want it, we're going to do our best to do it for you.
Yeah, it's smart to team up different towns on different pages, because people, there's not always a lot of news.
There's not enough, always enough, yeah. So we're trying to be a little more flexible with it, and to really pick the stories that are genuinely the most interesting. And, the paper is a little bit smaller at this time of year. It's a function of advertising, so we are combining some of them, but we are committed to trying to do what people have asked us to do.
And you've got the story there about the new location for just this year in Sharon of the Christmas tree. And by the way, the menorah is going to be lit in Sharon on the 22nd.
Right, and we have information on that. And also, we kind of liked having it at the War Memorial because the lighting was a little better, a little easier to shoot a photo. But nice turnout. And people seem not to have been confused. And this will give the plants a chance to root here on the green after a massive project.
And this is really important, the Kent Library, because they have that big book sale that goes all summer. But
right.
They're doing renovations, and so for a while, they've moved.
They've moved, and it's interesting. I hadn't realized this, but, all the books for the book sale are stored inside the big garage at the end of the parking lot, and that used to be the firehouse, and that was part of the original remit. There's a little bit of history that we put in this article. That was the town's firehouse before it moved to its beautiful new location on Maple Street.
And Christ Church Episcopal celebrated 200 years.
200 years, a beautiful church, and they've been doing events throughout the autumn that we've been writing about.
And we mentioned the obituary page. I want to go over to the viewpoint and opinion page. Once again, beautiful picture of Santa. And then your editorial, take care of yourself first.
That's right. We have a lot of things to think about this time of year, from events and shopping and all kinds of things that take up our time. But we're reminding our readers, as we have for the past few weeks in the paper, that the deadline to sign up for Access Health Connecticut is coming right up on the 15th, December 15th, and now is the time to enroll if you have need of affordable health care, and who doesn't? So because of the way the administration has put out information on the Affordable Care Act, you would think that, forget it, there's no options now, but there are, and we have experts right in this area, so we put out the information here once again and encourage people to think of themselves first.
All right, and right next to that, turning back the pages, and 100 years ago, the front porch of the White Hart Inn is being enclosed in glass.
Yeah, that didn't last.
No, not long, I can tell you that. All right, let's take a look at the viewpoint page. Once again, the cartoon by Peter Steiner I love, but that's always going to happen there. A lot of other columns, though.
We do. And I will mention again that guest commentary from Save Sharon Hospital, working to save a vital resource. And this is their mission, to be watchdogs and keep close track of what's happening. They were formed during the time when the maternity unit was at risk and, still keeping close track of it, as are we. But so we're glad to have their information here. Do read it. It's important. We have from Dick Ollis a column about Trump mocking the U.S. Constitution and military justice code, a really interesting column. Carol Asher on the First Amendment in an era of social media, and Bill Schmick on U.S. oil independence.
All right, social media, it should, social media and the First Amendment should go hand in hand, but unfortunately doesn't seem to really.
Well, it's a really interesting analysis from Carol. So, yeah, give it a read and let us know what you think.
All right. Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and it's time to go to, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Compass.
Yes, we have a packed week. It's always packed in this week or two before Christmas. There's a fabulous show that just is opening this weekend at the Academy Building, but it's called The Wonders of Winter, and it's to celebrate Salisbury Winter Sports Association. A portion of the proceeds that, if any of the pictures sell, will benefit SWASA and also the Salisbury Association. But this show is kind of fabulous. It's taken 2 or 3 years to curate by Sarah Morrison, Alan Blagden, and Gerald Stanton. And it has more than 30 artists represented, and it's in 6 locations. It's in the Academy Building, Johnny Cake Books, Neo Restaurant, Sotheby's, Sweet Williams, and the White Hart. Is that 6? It might be 7. But it's all over town. I just saw the work that's hanging at Sweet Williams, and it's really nice. And the artists are... 21 of them are from Connecticut, but there's artists from all over the world represented in this. And every picture, the theme of the show is skiing. So every picture has something to do with skiing or winter sports. And the cover picture is a version of a cover that Arthur Goetz did for The New Yorker. And the final cover is not this picture, but we had a choice to run this or the final version, and everybody preferred this one. Mm. So they're New Yorker. we like
it's beautiful.
They're both lovely, but this one was a little bit more cheerful, I think. The other one was a little more spooky. We've also got a nice story by Caitlin Olinger about the history of eggnog. Who knew? Eggnog's been around since the medieval times. Not that I ever knew, but it's not, I'm sure it didn't taste as good as this Arethusa Farm eggnog that you can buy locally. It's so delicious. Who needs rum when you can drink this stuff? It's like drinking ice cream. Amazing stuff.
It is good stuff. My grandmother used to make her own eggnog, yeah.
With bourbon?
Sometimes I would think she came from the Hilltops.
that was the cooking sherry.
This stuff that you can buy, the Arethusa, you just add a little bit of rum and you've got this amazing holiday grog or whatever they call it. There's a show in Kent at Craven Gallery called New Nudes. And I wanted to say nice new nudes, but I don't know. Not nice new nudes. It's not your grandmother's nude show. It's definitely not what you think of when you think of nude paintings. It's a lot of contemporary artists. He's very contemporary, that gallery. And it's definitely, it's not big, but it's worth driving down to see that show. And there's also a good show at Eckert Gallery.
You know, you got a nice story by Fred Baumgarten on yes. Christmas Angelicus.
Exactly. That was my next thing. There's the whole Christmas concert schedule. Of course, Angelicus is published this week. And they're going to be in... Oh, God, where is it? Sorry, guys. They're going to be at the Salisbury Congregational Church.
On Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. Here it is. It's on Sunday, December 15th from 4 to 6. But they'll also be in West Hartford, in Litchfield, Torrington, Hartford, all over. And it's kind of not Christmas without going to see Chorus Angelicus. They've lost their normal narrator, who's not healthy right now.
But
so
John Dankowski is a really good guy. He's a nice guy. He's from Winsted.
Exactly.
He was fired from WNPR in Hartford, and that created a lot of consternation for a lot of folks. But John Dankowski will do a great job.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We have a new narrator who's fantastic. And then, let's see, there's one. Oh, yes, we have this movie Knives Out. When I saw the trailer, but I'm not reviewing that movie. That looks awful because the trailer was so awful. Every person I know who's seen it says it's fantastic. Our reviewer loved it. And I really got egg in my face just by don't always judge a movie by its trailer, because this movie sounds terrific. And Sophia Kaufman, my favorite movie reviewer, well, one of my favorite movie reviewers, says it's really good.
Hey, there's no egg in the face when it comes to what you first think. Everybody's opinion is right when you look at art.
When you look at a trailer.
Well, the trailer, you know, usually you can tell from a trailer whether you'll like the film or not. And in this case, I was wrong.
You're funny. It's right.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it, but I
know. Wait, just wait.
Just wait. Maybe you won't like it.
Maybe you won't like it.
You have to like campy murder mysteries.
I don't know. From reading all of these reviews and talking to people I respect, like Cynthia Hochschwender and Sophia, I have a feeling I will like it. But
it's fun.
We'll see. I'll go tonight, maybe.
I always do the hit the trailer thing on the movies on Prime and stuff like that. And I can tell within 5 seconds whether I want to see the movie. I can tell within 5 seconds, and I've never been disappointed.
Right, but you also have been hauled off to movies that you didn't think you wanted to see and that you ended up enjoying.
Yes, that's true.
So this is one of those. I usually, when I see a trailer and I don't like it and I go anyway, I have, let's just say, return regret. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's it.
That's it.
Went through the whole nine yards.
Yep. Do you want to talk to Janet about our schedule for the holidays?
Well, that was the last bit of it, because there's always a little bit of a change.
Complexity.
Right. We do have a shutdown week at the end of the year, and so we'll be closed from Monday, December 23rd to December 27th, and then reopen Monday, December 30th, and then be closed for New Year's Day on January 1st. Well, this means we won't have that last issue of the year. We do a double issue on the 19th for the 19th and the 26th, and that will be on the stands until January 2nd when we do have an issue coming out. And we have all of this in the paper in our early deadline ad. So anyone who would like to send letters to the editor or briefs, those should be sent already, by the way, or ads, by all means, give that a read, and you'll see what all the deadlines are around these schedules.
All right. Well, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank all you. Right. Shop locally.
All right. That is this week's edition of This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You can find the Lakeville Journal, of course, not only on your newsstands or home delivery, but at tricornernews.com and also on Facebook and Instagram.